The fifth aliyah of Parshas Yisro is very short, but contains many crucial ideas, including one of our great sources of pride. The Gemara Maseches Shabbos and Daf Pei Ches tells us that the fact that the Jews said Naseh before Nishma, B'shash Yekdimu Naseh L'Shmishma, they accomplished something tremendously impressive, and two crowns were brought down for every Jew who said that. And it's a difficult idea on the surface to understand, because one would think that it's not really so impressive to commit to something when you don't know what's involved. You wouldn't say that if someone gets married without meeting the girl first, or if somebody buys a house without seeing it first, that that would necessarily be considered wise or something to praise. And there are many suggestions as to how to understand the particular quality of Naseh V'Nishma. Sam Derech understands that the idea is that this is the realization that there's a depth of learning that comes from doing, and that therefore we have the practice of mitzvos together with the learning and before the learning in order to allow one to enhance the other. But there's another understanding, which the Beis Halevi has several places in his writings, and the Chaim de Shlomo had as well, that the idea is that really it's not possible to do the mitzvos without knowing what they are. We have to learn about them in order to have the basic facts in order to work. So therefore, the idea of saying naseh really means nishma v'naseh. It contains the idea of learning about them first. So the idea of switching the order, the fact that we said naseh before nishma, is significant because it turns it into two acceptances. Had we said nishma v'naseh, that would have been just the natural idea of we will learn the details and we will fulfill them. But by switching around the order, we're essentially saying nishma v'naseh v'nishma, that we will learn in order to do, and then even after we know what to do, we will continue to learn and pursue Torah for its own sake, even beyond and separate from what's necessary in order to perform the mitzvos. And that recognition that there is a crucial value to that type of learning as well was so impressive that it earned the Jews two crowns, two specifically because they turned what could have been one acceptance into two acceptances. Salevi's great-grandson, Rav Soloveitchik, understood differently that the idea of the acceptance and jumping in essentially reflects a higher ratzon, a higher will. And in general, we make decisions on different systems, that sometimes we come at things intellectually and make a rational evaluation of all the pluses and minuses and decide what to do. And there's also a higher ratzon that just connects automatically to something and recognizes that this is where we should be headed. So the fact that the Jews first said naseh, that indicates that there was this absolute connection from the higher ratzon that transcends the intellectual analysis that normally comes along with decisions, and it's that connection that is the source of great pride. Perhaps we could connect the two interpretations that the Beis Halevi, by highlighting the value of Talmud Torah even separate from what's needed in order to perform the mitzvos, is itself a recognition of a special relationship, and that the Torah and God's Word is worthy of study even if we don't need to know the facts in order for a practice. And therefore, perhaps this idea that their commitment represents a special type of relationship is maybe common to both interpretations. The Meshech Chachma adds another understanding, that there is the concern here that every Jew wants to connect to the totality of Torah, to all of the 613 mitzvos, but nobody is subject to all of the obligations at once. So the question comes up, how does one connect to all of the 613 mitzvos if they're not able to fulfill them all? So there are perhaps two ways of doing that. One way is the idea of learning about the mitzvos. This is an idea that we find specifically by Kodshim, but there are many who understand that it's extended to other areas of the Torah as well. And if you're not able to fulfill a mitzvah personally, so then learning about it also considered to be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. So here we have them saying, naseh, we will do the mitzvos that we can do, and the mitzvos that we're not able to personally fulfill, nishma, we will also learn about, and that will be a way of fulfilling those mitzvos. There's another way to connect all of the Jews to each of the 613 mitzvos, even if they're not personally fulfilling them or subject to them, and that is being a part of Klal Yisrael that is collectively obligated in fulfilling all of the 613 mitzvos. So therefore, that aspect requires unity, and the idea that the Jews are expressing particular unity at this time is another way of accomplishing this connection that all the Jews have with all 613 mitzvos. However, the idea that we enthusiastically accepted the Torah is seemingly contradicted by another idea connected to the same Aliyah, and that is also discussed that same daf in Masechet Shabbos and daf Beches, and that is focusing on the language here of Vayisyatvu B'sachtis Ahar, that the Jews were standing at the bottom of the mountain, and the Gemara tells a story that God had to essentially compel the Jews to accept the Torah, and he took the mountain and held it upside down on top of them and said that either you accept the Torah or it won't be good for you. Sham tehek for aschem. This is going to be where you will be buried. So the idea that we were coerced, compelled to accept the Torah, seems to contradict the notion of Na'aseh v'Nishma discussed over there on that same page. And Tosfos raises this question, and other Rishonim discussed it as well. So some understand that this was to guarantee the future acceptance, that yes, they accepted at that point, but in the future they may not have the same commitment, and therefore there was a need to make sure it would endure. The Medrash Tanchuma is quoted in many sources as making an additional distinction, that perhaps it was the Torah Shebichsav that they were willing to accept, and the Torah Shebalpeh was much harder with all of the details and all of the chumras and all of the extra concepts that seemed to be too burdensome, and the Jews were not willing to take on that and had to be told that it's all part of a package deal and you have to take them all together. The Gemara says that this notion that it was forced upon us is a modar rabal araisa, which most understand to mean that this could be an excuse for not fulfilling the mitzvos of the Torah, because we can claim that they were given under duress, and that it was only later, at the time of the miracle of Purim, that we willingly accepted kimu mashikiblu kvar, the Gemara understands, and the Jews then took on the Torah with complete ratzon, with complete willingness. The significance of Purim within these explanations may take on many different forms. Rav Schwab understands that the idea is there was a concern that maybe the Jews did indeed accept the Torah willingly. In fact, some understand the notion of kviya as being a sense of awe, as the Maral, the Meshech Chachma, suggests that the Jews were just totally overtaken by the intense spirituality of the moment, and they had no possibility of saying no. So in that spirit, Rav Schwab suggests that maybe at a time of open nisim, so then indeed there would be a continued commitment. But in a time when it wasn't necessarily so obvious and the nisim we experienced are more behester, maybe that wouldn't be the case. So the fact that during the time of Purim, when the Jews were saved with a nes nister, where God's presence was hidden, and they recognized nonetheless that they accept the Torah under those circumstances, that was of greater significance. The Maharal suggests, along the lines that the distinction is between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh, that at the time of Purim, agreeing to read the Megillah, which is a mitzvah Rabbanan, is a commitment to the Torah Shebalpeh, and therefore it's particularly significant for that reason. There's an additional question that the Achronim discuss here, that the position of the Rambam regarding the ability to coerce a get, in Hilchos Gittin, the Rambam says that even though a get has to be given of free will, sometimes we are allowed to coerce a get, and that seems to contradict the idea that it's given of free will. And the Rambam explains that in situations where it's a mitzvah, then we can assume essentially there's a pintali yid, that the inner Jew wants to do the right thing, and even though he said he doesn't want to, his desire to connect to goodness and the Torah's wishes means that he really deep down does, and we can separate all of the interfering influences and allow him to carry out his true will. So that has an interesting interaction with this Gemara. There are some who ask, if that's indeed the case, so why does the Gemara say that there is an excuse for not fulfilling the mitzvot because of duress? Don't we see from the Rambam's position that every Jew really wants to do the right thing, so presumably they really wanted to receive the Torah, so then it should be considered a full acceptance. This was discussed by many Sfarim, including the Tshuvas Chemda Shlomo, which in Mishpat in Simen Yud Gimel, and he suggests, in fact, because of this and other questions, that maybe we should read the whole Gemara differently, that it's not simply that they were coerced to receive the Torah when they didn't want to, they did say Na'aseh v'Nishma, but they were given the message that that moment was of such spiritual intensity that they needed a much more passionate acceptance, and therefore they were told that they have to accept it much more enthusiastically, and that's what they did, and that's what it really means, Modar Rabbah, not like most others understand that it is a excuse against the Torah, but this is a support of the Torah. The fact that they were so enthusiastic at that time meant that this was a very eager welcoming of the Torah of great significance. And therefore, the Gemara continues to tell us at the time of Purim, when there was another miracle, there was an even greater level of acceptance, and that's the continuation of the story, and perhaps that's how it can be understood. Others raise other objections to these two concepts together, this Gemara and the ruling of the Rambam. Some understand, as the Chasam Sofer notes, that presumably there has to be a basis for the inner Jew, for the assumption that every Jew wants to do the right thing. And that presumably happened at Har Sinai. The initial commitment to the Torah is what creates that inner Jew and that evidence that everybody really wants to be connected to it. So if that itself was imposed unwillingly, so then the question can become, how indeed is this the case? How can we assume that this is really the inner desire of every Jew? And at first he suggests that perhaps that only became true Purim time, that when the Jews reaffirmed their commitment and took it on with complete willingness, from that point on it was possible to say that there is this inner Jew who is ready to receive the Torah and to therefore do all of its commandments, even if it doesn't seem like he's willing at the moment. However, there are problems with that explanation as well, and the Chasam Sofer notes an additional point that according to the Tanchuma, we don't need this explanation, or we don't need this conclusion. And presumably what he means is that since the Tanchuma made this distinction, that they accepted the Torah Shebichsav willingly, but not the Torah Shebal Peh, that does create a framework, that once they did show this commitment by accepting the Torah Shebichsav, so then that shows that they really want to be a part of this system, and therefore the Torah Shebal Peh itself can be compelled upon them in a effective fashion, and that's the whole origin of the system. And in that case, this actually fits well with the position of the Rambam. The Rambam essentially saying that everyone really does want to do the right thing, but sometimes the Yetzer Hara gets in the way. So here too, we find that framework that the Jews very much wanted to be a part of the Torah's mitzvos, and therefore said Naaseh V'Nishma, but the Yetzer Hara got in the way when the burdensome obligations of Torah Shebal Peh came up. But the fact that they had already bought into the system allowed the rest to be brought along with it. So all of these very crucial themes are integrated into this Aliyah as we now prepare for the receiving of the Esaras HaDibros.